Good morning, Carlisle Alliance Church. It's so great to be with you this morning by video. This is our fourth Sunday as we are doing this, and it's so great to be able to reach out to you in this way. We sure can't wait for that day when we can all gather together again to worship our Lord and Savior and to just to be able to catch up with each other and to just to give praises to God for all He's been doing these days in our lives. So welcome this morning. And this is Palm Sunday. If you noticed the email that came out, we have lots of things happening this week. We have extra videos each day, and I would encourage you to take part of those. The one today is called The Lord Needs It. They're just really encouraging, and they're eyewitnesses and of things that happened during the last week of Jesus' life here on the earth. So we encourage you to watch them. They'll be on Facebook each day. We also have Maundy Thursday. The Alliance, the whole Alliance is getting together to do a National Day of Prayer. Our president has called us to prayer. And we encourage you to go on the cmaalliance.org and sign up and be a part of that at 12 o'clock noon. And as we pray for our nation, as we pray for God to work in a mighty way. We also are having a Good Friday service. Pastor Andy will be talking a little more about that as well in his message. But if you need any of the items, if you don't have some type of juice, or I know some families are just going to use water, and that's okay. But just have some type of bread or crackers and some juice ready and be ready to do Good Friday communion service together. It'll be just a great time. Even though we won't be here together, we'll be doing it in our homes all spread out together. It'll be a wonderful time. So I want to encourage you, as I got this text from Pastor Ron, it was a little funny thing, and I thought it would be just a humorous a little bit. The coronavirus has turned us all into dogs, he says. We roam the house all day looking for food. We're told no if we get too close to strangers, and we get really excited about car rides. Yes. Those are very exciting to get out of the house just a little bit, but we need to stay in as the government's asking us to so we can really beat this disease with the Lord's help. Matthew Keller is our missionary of the month, so we don't want to forget him as well when we go to prayer here in a moment. To pray for Matthew, you saw in the weekly update some of his needs and the story he told about the 80-year-old English mother coming over. We need to pray for her son that he would come to know the Lord as the Savior. Also, if you didn't hear, Jeff and Angelina had a little baby girl, and we need to just continue to pray for them. So let's go to prayer. Father, thank you for this morning, the time that we just can come to you as a body spread out in different homes, but yet we are one body because of Christ Jesus in our lives. And we celebrate today with you what you're doing here in the United States and around the world, and may more eyes focus upon you. Because of this, may people be drawn to you and desire to have a relationship with you. And we just pray you would do a healing in our land. So thank you, Father, that you're in control. This did not surprise you at all. I do pray, too, for our families. I pray for the Stouts, Father, and as they have this little new baby girl, I just pray you continue to bless them and keep them healthy. I pray for Matthew, too. As he said, it's really different doing ministry now. I pray you would help them to adapt and just continue to use him. And may we each lift him up. And we pray for this 80-year-old mother's son who has cancer, not doing well at all. We just pray that you would just touch his life and that he, most of all, would have a desire to have a relationship with you. If it's just one day here and then the rest of eternity, that would just be so great, Father. So thank you. We do pray for Debbie Sprague, too, who has a foot injury. We just pray you would just touch and heal her and give her wisdom as they have so many things going on over there at Chapel Point because of this coronavirus, Father. Just help them and help them to stay healthy. Put your hedge of protection around the community there. We continue to pray for Anna Goodwin, too, who fell, and Pastor Don, who has some heart and lung issues, Father. We just pray you come alongside them. May they know your peace and passes all understanding as you work in their lives. We do pray, too, for Pastor Randy as he's going to be presenting the message this morning And we pray that it would just touch our hearts and lives. So thank you. As we go now to reading the word of you, your word, Father, may it just touch our lives and be may be encouraging to us this morning. We love you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Randy is going to be in Matthew, the triumphal entry, starting with verse 21. When they had approached Jerusalem and come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them. And he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road, the crowds going ahead of him. And those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Hear now, Pastor Randy. May the Lord bless you, our brother, as you share from his word.
Good morning to each of you. I trust that you are having a good week in the midst of this very peculiar, unusual time that we're all going through. It's taking somewhat of an adjustment for all of us as we go through this time. I'm sure you're like me. You're asking, Lord, what do you want to say to us during this time? What are you trying to communicate to us? What are we to learn during this time? And why is it that this is occurring while we are in the midst of Lent, while we're in the midst of Holy Week, as we have Palm Sunday and we'll be going through this week? Perhaps the Lord is revealing something to you and it's helpful and encouraging to you. Pastor Doug and I are praying for all of you that and all of us that we will get a fresh picture of the Lord Jesus as we go through this week. We're providing a couple of resources for you. And then on Friday, Good Friday, as we have mentioned, we are going to do a pre-recorded Good Friday service for you to listen to. And in it, we're planning to do communion. So if you would want to gather just with yourself or with friends or family and join us for communion, Pastor Doug and I will be leading it. You want to get something to represent the bread, crackers, or some element like that, and something to represent the cup, which would you could use some kind of juice or liquid beverage for that as well. And we're trusting the Lord will use that to encourage us. Today we're looking at the triumphal entry of Palm Sunday. A very familiar experience that we've looked at many, many times in our life. And we're going to look at it today and ask the Lord to give us a fresh nudge and direction. Pastor Doug has already read the scripture for us, which is found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. So let's pray and ask God to give us direction. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the record that we have of your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We ask that you would take this picture and use it to strengthen us and direct us in our own individual lives during this time. We pray, Father, that you would just enliven us. In Christ's name, amen. Back then, I combed my hair a bit differently and my glasses were of the rimless variety. As I walked up to the ticket agent and handed her my boarding pass, she looked up and she said, "Wow, I know you." I responded, "You do?" Thinking and going in my memory bank, is this somebody that I had met in one of the churches I superintended? She said, "Yes, I would know Wolf Blitzer anywhere." Oh, I'm sorry, feeling very embarrassed for her because there were lots of people around. I said, "I'm not Wolf Blitzer." "Oh, I know you guys. You'd like to present yourself in a different way and some kind of other name. But Wolf, we're just glad you're here. You have a good flight, Wolf. Welcome, Wolf Blitzer." Well, I didn't want to cause a scene anymore. I did feel people were really gathering around looking at me. I was tempted to see if I could sell some autographs. But I hurried on down the jetway, and as I did, I pictured her telling her family that night at dinner, "Guess who I boarded today on one of my flights? Wolf Blitzer." It was Passover in Jerusalem, and it was crowded and overcrowded, teeming with people through those narrow streets. It was really a small city, and to bring 3 million people in was pretty overwhelming. You would hear the cacophony of sounds, all kind of movement, hard to get through, probably busier than the food court on the opening day of the farm show. It was pretty overwhelming. And the interesting thing was that it was a required gathering for all of the male Jews within 20 miles. But they would bring their families as well. It was indeed a religious gathering, but really it was more than that, honestly. It was a cultural celebration as well. You would see people in these crowded streets greeting one another. They had not seen each other for a year. Some were relatives. Some were former schoolmates. Some were people that they had come across previous years and made friendships with. And they were so excited to be with them. It would be hard to get through the crowd as they were. Children were playing off on the side as well, throwing various items to each other. It was just a very festive time. The smells were present as well. The smells of various foods and breads that were being made for the pilgrims that arrived in that particular place. If you were to look a little more closely at the crowd, you would see some huddled in a corner, talking and furtively looking around, because those individuals were complaining about the harshness of the Roman rule. Some of them were saying things like, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if a Judas Maccabeus that came in several hundred years ago and conquered Jerusalem under heavy attack and oppression would come again and set us free and give us a new life and send those Romans away?" Others were whispering the name Jesus. You could pick it up, different ones. There was rumor that this man, Jesus, from Galilee, was performing miracles of different kinds. And who could he be? Could he be some prophet or miracle worker? Could he be the Messiah? And they began to talk about it. Then a rumor began to trickle through the crowds. "Jesus of Nazareth is coming. He is on his way. He is at the top of the Mount of Olives. He's coming this direction. He's coming to Jerusalem for the Passover. What kind of man is he?" And the crowds poured out of the eastern gate and looked upon the hill. And there they saw Jesus on a colt of a donkey, slowly making his way down. The crowds were responding in the same way that they responded to Judas Maccabeus hundreds of years ago when he came not on a colt but a white horse charging in, and people gathered and cut palm trees down and threw their cloaks down and yelled, "Hosanna, Hosanna." And so this crowd was doing the same. They ran to him. And as Jesus slowly made his way down that winding path, people were shouting, "Save us! Save us! Help us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," as they waved the palm branches, threw the cloaks down, and made their way to Jesus, and made their way to Jerusalem for that particular time. Who was he? People had different opinions. Who was he? Pharisees were looking at the crowds and they said, "Wow, the whole world is going after this man. Who is he?" And there was confusion. Some thought he was indeed a prophet. Some thought he was a miracle worker. Some thought he was an intended ruler who had come to bring a rescue to the people. Some were not sure if he was the Messiah. There had been talk about that, but was he really the Messiah? Who was he, really? On this particular day, as well as days and months before that, Jesus was the victim of mistaken identity as well. People weren't sure who he was. They gave him tags of different kinds, including rebel or revolutionary. Who was he, really, in this particular situation? Jesus, with his disciples, were on their way to Jerusalem. They had previously, just a day or two before, gone through Jericho, and on the way they healed two blind men, you may remember that, and they made their way then to Bethany, to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, who of course Jesus had raised from the dead, and Jesus and the disciples spent the night with them. In the early morning, Jesus arose with the disciples and commissioned two of them to go to a particular place to untie a donkey and its colt and bring them to him. This, of course, was in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9. And we see it here quoted in verse 4 of Matthew 21. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." And so this Jesus made his way down through the Mount of Olives with people yelling, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, save us." But Jesus had a far different demeanor than that of Judas Maccabeus several hundred years before. Judas Maccabeus came with confident triumph and almost anger in his eyes, determination. But Jesus came with a gentleness in his heart and in his eyes. He had almost a faraway, pensive look at Jerusalem. And the Gospel of Luke said he cried as he looked on to Jerusalem for his sadness, not for himself, but the sadness of the people. Jesus was a victim of mistaken identity. I would suggest to you that Jesus is still a victim of mistaken identity by many people. I wonder sometimes if you and I are clear about who Jesus is and what he's about to do. In that day, some saw him and hoped to see him as a military Messiah who would come in and rule and reign and push out all the people who were oppressing in various ways, seeking to be a military leader. But this was not what Jesus was to do. I'm remembering a quote that an aide of President Lincoln said to him the night before the Civil War began. He said, Mr. President, we should pray that the Lord is on our side. And Lincoln responded by saying, no, we should rather pray that we are on God's side. I think of that even in this particular time, this peculiar time that we're in, that we are not praying just, God, come and be on our side in our nation and our world during this time. But I think we should be praying more intently and just as intently on, Lord, are we on your side? Are we on your side during this particular time? This perhaps is what God wants of us during this era. But people were confused in Jesus' day. They were hoping he was a military leader, but he did not come to be a military leader. Some were hoping he would be a political leader. In fact, even some of the disciples, and if you remember, even a mother of a couple of the disciples, was hoping that he would be a political leader, push out Herod, Pilate, and he would take over the rulership and put his disciples in as his cabinet, etc. But Jesus was not interested in that particular particular strategy at all. Jesus is not a military leader or a political leader. That's not his main thrust, as you well know, because he said his work was a kingdom that is within us, within our hearts and within our souls. It may surprise you that Jesus is not a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, or a Socialist. Jesus has come that he might renovate our hearts and our souls. So Jesus is a Messiah who is determined to bring rescue and to bring redemption to his people. This is an internal rescue for us. This is God coming in and working within us to renew us and establish us within our lives. It's really a long-term plan on his part. Jesus will say to us and does say to us, follow me. And the following me is a call to leave all that we feel from our perspective and our yearning and put it out before him that we might follow him rather than him following us. You see, we want to invite Jesus into our life, certainly. But just as importantly, we need to not only have Jesus in our life, we must get into his life to follow him. Jesus did not say to the fishermen, let me follow you. No, he said, you come and follow me. So our life journey is that of following Jesus in every realm, opening ourselves to him that he can have his work and his way with us. And he leads by gentleness. Remember Isaiah 61. Jesus said, that is my mission. That is my role. To heal the brokenhearted. To strengthen people within. Give them what they need. And Jesus is a God of care. And he and the Father and the Spirit desire to convey a gentleness to us. Just last night, Linda and I were reading Psalm 86, and I was impressed again how many times throughout the Old Testament, God reveals himself not as a mean, judgmental, cruel God who would say, you know, this world has not been following me. I'm going to send coronavirus to them and kill lots of them and make their life miserable because of the way they are. Jesus and said, "My way is gentle, meek and lowly." And God gave the same, the Father gave the same over and over again. Let me just read verse 15 from Psalm 86. And it can be found repeatedly through the Old Testament to show the real character and nature of God. Here it is. "But you, O Lord, Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth. This is our God. This is how Jesus came, not as a military leader to use outward force or a political leader to use some kind of ingenuity in that way. But his was a ministry of the heart, slow to anger, merciful, gracious, abundant in loving kindness. This is our God. This is the one who came riding on the colt of a donkey into Jerusalem on that Passover time." Jesus is indeed the Messiah, but he is a Messiah only to the degree that he is embraced. Jesus came to the people of that day and our day as the true Messiah. And he is our true Messiah when we understand his mission. You see, the people had no idea who Jesus really was on that particular day and his mission. They were thinking of their own religious celebration, celebrating the escape that they had from Egypt. And they were told that annually they should celebrate the Passover and experience that. But Jesus was the Passover lamb. Jesus was the full, the once and for all Passover lamb as he made his way in Jerusalem. He is the one who would suffer. He is the one who would be taken to the cross and slain on the cross as the Passover lamb. The shedding of his blood that the sins of the people of the Jewish nation, indeed, but of all the whole world for you and me, that we would have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah, we say, Jesus, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He is our only hope. He is our Passover lamb. He redeems us and gives to us everything that we need in his gentleness and in kindness. He heals us within. He desires to take the interior castle of our life, totally renovate it, work and lead and direct. Oh, this one is so wonderful for us. It is not a memorial of the past. We celebrate the fact that he still comes to us in power and in might. He is the true Messiah when we understand who he is. He is the true Messiah when we hear his voice and we answer him and we follow him. And he still calls us. And even today, he calls people to himself. I believe that during this particular era that we're in, this season that we're in, God wants to use this, and God is allowing it for a spiritual purpose. Let us not get hung up on the presenting issue itself, which is severe enough, but let us have eyes that look deeper into this experience and look for Jesus. And say, what is it you are saying to us? What do you have to reveal to us? What do you want to renovate in my life through this? Because he's the grand renovator. He's the grand supplier. He gives to us exactly what we need. When our tables are empty, when our cups are empty, he will fill them. But he also is the one when we give him permission to overturn tables in our life, as Jesus did in the temple. Now, we like the filling, we like the wine in the cups, but are we willing to also see Jesus even when our tables are overturned, when life becomes surprisingly different, when new patterns have to be set up, when we're forced to stay at home and would rather be out? God has a way of leading us into paths of transformation. Sometimes they're pleasant paths. Sometimes it comes through truth. But sometimes it comes through difficulty, through challenges, through circumstances that are not pleasant. Let us not miss God in all of that. Let us not miss Jesus in all of that. Behold the Passover Lamb. He comes with gentleness. He comes to transform us, to renew us. And it is a continuing yielding in our life, a continue working in our life. Yes, Jesus was a victim of mistaken identity. Some thought he was simply a miracle worker who could help them in the time of trouble. Some thought he was a supplier when we had no food, that he would just supply to the thousands of people. Some saw him simply as one who could set people free from demons. Some saw him as a military leader, hopefully, that would come in and overthrow the Romans. And Jesus certainly can transform circumstances. We've all seen him do that. And he certainly is a supplier. We've seen that. And when he changed the water into wine for at that marriage feast, people saw how he did that. But Jesus also allows other things, difficult circumstances, tables to be overturned as well, that they might help us follow him. So I trust in this time we will see Jesus for who he is, that sacrificial lamb who has redeemed us through the work of the cross and through his resurrection. It's a glorious gospel that comes into our life to liberate us. But it's not a once and done experience. It's a lifelong changing, renewing that he works in our life. We need always to be open to that and willing for that. Who is Jesus? He indeed is the true Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who set us free by the shedding of his blood, the one who walks with us, the one who sent us the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth, who convinces us and convicts us at various times. Oh, how fortunate we are. We know and can know the true Messiah. Several years ago, when Linda and I were living in Maryland, I left my home early in the morning, and as I was heading out the door, behold, the neighbor next door was also leaving at the same time. She looked over to me and she said, "Good morning, Raymond. How are you today?" I responded by saying, "Well, I'm fine, Kiva, but my name is Randy, not Raymond." "Oh my," she said. "For 8 years, I thought your name was Raymond." I was offended. I thought, "I'm not a Raymond." And to think that for 8 years, she thought I was a Raymond. Now, I'm not a Raymond. I'm a Randy. Now, I don't have anything against Raymonds. I know some Raymonds are wonderful people. But I'm not Raymond. I'm Randy. And by the way, I'm not Wolf Blitzer either. Well, Jesus was not a miracle worker only. He did not come to be some kind of a teacher only. But he came to be the true Messiah, to set men and women free from their sins and to provide the ministry of Christ in us to guide and direct. We celebrate this day, this one who came as the Passover lamb. We say to him, "O Lord, Hosanna, hallelujah, save us, save us. Save us from that which surrounds us, but save us from that which is within us, that we might grow to be like you, that we might find healing, renewal, encouragement, and strength, and that we might look more and more like you, filled with the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control, all looking to Jesus." May this particular season refine us in a way in which we can look more and like more like Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you for your plan of salvation, the gospel that has come to set us free. I pray, Father, that you would encourage each of us, give us eyes to see and eyes to look to see what you might have for us. In Christ's name we pray it. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Randy. May this message not just challenge us, but may it help us go deeper in these days, and may it remind us who is in control of everything. May we not worry. May we find peace in everything, and mostly in Christ Jesus. May he give you that comfort and strength that you need in these days. And may the peace that passes all understanding guide and direct your lives. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon. We love you.